Lord. You can be seated. It's a good spirit we feel in this place right now. I want to first by giving honor to Pastor. I don't take this lightly at all. Tonight, I feel heavy in my spirit. I didn't feel it when I was studying for the Word. I didn't feel it when I was writing it down or reading the Bible, but today, when we first started singing the first song, I don't know, God just started to just really press on my heart that I had exactly what he was giving me. The title I have for this is Conversations We Should Be Having. How many of us in here tonight want the kingdom of God to grow? We want the church to grow. How many of us at the same time have lost family members? Probably every one of us. I picked this book up from Pastor. It's probably way overdue. So when he sees this, he's going to be like, I need that book back. But I haven't finished it yet. It's called Crucial Conversations, Bridging the Awkward Spiritual Gap. It's a good read. I'm not a real big reader. I mean, I read my Bible, but when I was in high school, I didn't read books. I played football, you know. But a lot of this book is about how to tell your testimony, how to go about a conversation with lost people or babies in the Lord, and how crucial it is to have good conversations, good relationships, and to build trust with people. The Bible says that there is power of life and death in the tongue. So you can speak life into something, and you can speak death into something. Whether you believe it or not, there are wrong ways of communicating your testimony. An example of that would be me saying to a new person that I'm inviting to church, yeah, I played football. I loved it. And I was going to go play college ball. I had to talk to the coach, everything. I was going to go, and God told me not to, so I didn't. And then I was homeless. And then all I had was the church. My mom didn't talk to me. My family didn't talk to me. Boo-hoo me, right? I could do that. And but God, now my life is turned around and I'm here. A newborn baby in Christ is going to look at you and go, I don't want that. I don't want to be homeless. I don't want to give up my career. A newborn baby in Christ is not going to want to do those things, especially if you tell your testimony like that. I try to keep out the homeless part. I say, well, I wasn't homeless because I always had somewhere to sleep. Okay, so homeless would mean I was on the side of the road. But the book goes on to say that we as Christians often speak to babies in Christ as if we are talking to other long life Christians who have similar stories. But we don't talk to babies and the Lord where they can understand. Many times we're like, talking about scriptures and backing up our testimony and making it understandable to the average Christian, but the world isn't the average Christian. If you've been in anybody's houses, you'll see 6 or 7 Bibles that still have dust on them in the cabinet. They're up there. They probably haven't been opened since forever, maybe never been opened. There's people that still have Bibles that are in new cases that are just sitting in there. Sometimes I want to just ask them if I can have them so I can hand them to somebody else. To a baby in the Lord, they would think you're crazy to give up everything and become homeless. They would think, why would a God ask you to do that? If God provides everything for you, why would God want you to be homeless? Why would God want you to leave your family or get kicked out? Why would God want you to do that? Coming from a home with no gospel foundation, no faithfulness to the house of God. It can be hard sometimes for myself to find the right time to speak about what God's done for me. A lot of us in here are not 5th, 6th, 7th generation apostolic. You know, some of us in here, most of us in here, are 1st generation apostolic. We're finding this stuff out one step at a time, one day at a time. How to dress modest, how to speak modest, how to look modest. How to have a righteous lifestyle. Me, I'm learning how to be a good husband. It's not easy. Sometimes you got to do the dishes. Sometimes you got to clean the shower. You know what I'm saying? All the married people said amen. But in this book, it says to build a relationship and trust with the people is more important than preaching to them. Too many times we find ourselves preaching to the people rather than really building a relationship or building trust with the people. Me, myself, if you come up to me as a random person and you say Acts 2:38, I'm going to do exactly what I did to Brother Chris over there, and I'm going to look at you and say, where is Acts and what's 2:38? What is the Holy Ghost? I'd gone to church a couple times. I went to a Lutheran church. I went to a Baptist church. I went to a Catholic church. Never once did I go to a church where people are running aisles, falling out, crawling across the floor, getting demon-possessed. No, I've never seen that, okay? So when that happened to me, it was a whole different ballgame. So if you come up to me, he's preaching to me, Acts 2:38, I might look at you and say, first off, where is that? I maybe opened the Bible one time, and that was because I was on punishment. And they told me to read the Bible and all the thighs and everything else in there. Besought, confused me. So I didn't really get anything out of reading it. We as followers of Christ, we need to learn how to build a relationship with people. Not every time you take somebody out for coffee, you need to speak to them about God. Sometimes you can take them out for coffee and just talk about, how's your job? How's the family doing? What have you done this week? What goals do you have in life? You can always put God in there a little bit, but babies in Christ are going to look at you and say, why every time we get together, you got to talk about God? We work at a factory, and all these guys, they're some hard guys. Okay, they're not politically correct. They don't speak like normal people. Okay, I guess they speak like normal people. They don't speak Christian people. And the one guy, he looked at us and he's like, why is it every single time you guys talk to me, it's always about Jesus? Now, this guy's an ex-drug addict. He's as crazy as possible. I mean, like, his mind is everywhere. And for some reason, every time I see him, I don't talk about God with him. I just go, how's your day going, man? And he'll be like, why you keep asking me that? It sucks today. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe one day you'll say it's good. But he always complains that some of us guys that work there, he's like, well, you guys always got to invite me to church. Well, you live in Conneaut. We want to grow the Conneaut church, so we're going to invite you. But sometimes an invite's not enough. You know, when you invite people to church, how many times have you invited that family member that's lost? And they say, oh, yeah, I'll think about it. And then you're sitting there Sunday morning, you're real excited, you're sending them a text, you're like, oh, hey, you coming? No response. And then church service is over and you're like, wow, they didn't show up. That's the sixth time this month. I can't tell you how many times I've texted my friends that I went to high school with, guys that I was good friends with, dudes that I've been best friends with since fourth grade. Time and time again, I'll text them periodically every month. Hey, how you doing? I felt like God put you on my heart, and I just wanted to invite you to church. You know how many responses I get? Zero. They don't ever respond to that text. But when I text them and say, hey, I'm in Orwell. You at your house? Always respond. Yeah, come in. Come stop in. Stop in. The mom wants to say hi. Always. I built a relationship with them, but when I built a relationship with them, it was when I was in the world. So they still view me as a person of the world. So now I have to do my best to change that view. I have to build trust in them again, not only to trust that I'm a godly man or that I'm a praying man, but that I'm somebody that actually cares for their best needs. In Jude 1, 21 and 23, I've got to pull it up. It reads, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23 says, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. What I pull from that verse is the first part of it says, keep yourself in the love of God. When you're trying to teach a new baby in Christ or somebody who's just new to the Lord or probably doesn't even know who the Lord is, teach them with love. The love of God is what it says. The second half of that verse talks about saving them in fear. I think there's a time and a place to tell your loved ones, hey, if you don't change the path that you're going down, it's going to be a fiery place. I think there's a time and place for that. I don't think that's the time and place for a new person. If you come up to me and say, hey, you're going to hell probably because of the decisions you've made, I probably wouldn't attend your church. So it's about how crucial the conversation is and how you go about it. I'll end with this. I had two friends that I'll never forget. I was in eighth grade. I remember sitting at home and I just got off the video game and I'm about to go to bed and get my stuff out for school tomorrow. You know, cramming my last little bit of homework. My buddy Gary calls me. And I can tell that there's something wrong with him. And he just opens up and tells me that he just took a bunch of pills and he wants to take his life. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't say anything. In eighth grade, you don't have a car, so I can't fly over there. I don't know anybody that lives by him. So in that moment, I sat there and I just listened. Sometimes that's all you can do is just listen. When the time opened up, I said, hey, can I just pray for you? I don't know if you believe in God. I don't know what you believe in, but I just felt like I need to pray for you. After I got done praying for him, he began to puke all the pills up, and he actually came to a hyphen thing once, but he's still alive today. I think God gave him another chance and put my name on his heart to call, because I could have probably been the only person that would have prayed for him that night. My second friend, I was in 11th grade. We weren't friends. I didn't know who she was. She didn't know who I was. But we had mutual friends, and she knew I went to church. Well, one night, I'm sitting in my mom's house, and I get a random phone call. And I'm known to pick them up. I pick all the random calls up because sometimes I like to joke with the people. This time, it wasn't a joke. She picked up, and all I heard was a girl crying. And I said, hello? Her name's Katie. She said that she just got done cutting herself. And I remember sitting there and tearing up and saying, how bad is it? And she says that she doesn't want to live anymore because her dad's not in her life. She doesn't want to live anymore because her boyfriend broke up with her. All these things. And she said, I'm calling you because I need somebody to pray for me. And I heard that you could pray for me. I prayed for her. And at the end of the phone call, I didn't know if she was going to be all right or not. I became best friends with her throughout all of high school. She's still alive today. I believe that God purposely gave her a second chance. It's not about who you are. It's not about the name. It's not about the person you are. It's about being available for God to use you in the moment. When you have a relationship with people, people begin to understand what God you serve. They begin to understand that maybe they can pray for me. So from this day forth, look to change your relationships with people. Make them deeper. When you meet a stranger, don't try to preach to them. They're not going to understand Acts 2:38. Try to show them love, the love of God, like the Bible says. And that's all I have for you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jerome. Before I begin, I'm going to have Brother Brandon pray over this continuance of this service.
Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify you in this place, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that your spirit will just begin to flow in this service, Lord. I pray, Lord, over top of Brother Matthew, Lord, that he could just speak, Lord. Lord, speak whatever it is that you have for him, Lord. Just give it to his heart, Lord Jesus, Lord. Speak through him, Lord. I pray that you would just have your way in this place or whatever it is that you're trying to do in this Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Before I begin, I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity and having the trust and the faith in me to really put my heart and my spirit into the word that God has laid on my heart and standing behind this pulpit. It's not something I will ever take lightly. And as we were singing that last song, all that kept running through my head was a couple of words: protector, mighty, and awesome. And isn't that just a wonderful, wonderful couple of words to sum up what Jesus was and is? My title for tonight is Just Keep Going. A couple of people in the Bible that I thought fought unbeatable battles or unmovable mountains. David, when he fought Goliath. Moses, leading the Israelites. Daniel in the lion's den. And the lady with the issue of blood. They all fought something in different ways. Lady with the issue of blood had a medical condition. Daniel was in prison with lions. Moses was in charge of millions of people. And David was fighting someone multiple times his size. But you know what they all had in common? They all stuck into the fight, regardless of what it was. They stood in there, and they took it, and they kept on moving. I'm sure when Daniel was in the lions, then he was scared. I'm sure when the lady with the issue of blood was scared that her time was running out. Just like these people in the Bible, God was with them. And just like them, God is with you, and he is with me. 1 Chronicles 28:20 says, "And David said to Solomon his son, 'Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, for the Lord God will be with thee, and he will not forsake thee until thou hast finished the service of the house of the Lord.'" 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common unto mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it." I'm sorry if I'm a little emotional. Something I thought of in a couple of movies I've seen was that there will be a superhero at the verge of losing the battle that they're facing. But it seemed like there was always just a way out for them. And oftentimes, that's what we have to see, is the way out, even when we don't feel like there's a way out. Sometimes we're blinded by the battle we're facing, and we don't see that way out. Let me remind you that even when we don't see it or we don't feel it, God is continuously working in our lives behind the scenes. You see, in both of these verses, they say something along the lines of, God is with us, God is with me, and he hasn't forsaken me. When the lady with the issue of blood was in need of healing, her way out was Jesus walking by. Daniel's way out, God closed the mouths of the lion. When David was facing Goliath, what was his way out? His faith and a rock. You see, we may not all be facing the same battle, but I tell you that there's a way out. I know we've all battled different things, and sometimes they're for longer periods of time. Sometimes we face drugs, lust, fornication, lying, and oftentimes in today's age, addiction to technology. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your issues may seem, your seasons that you're in, just stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. Keep moving forward. No matter where you are in life, God's with you. He hasn't forsaken you. No matter your situations, you're still here. You're still coming to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, faithfully. You came here tonight wanting something greater. You came here tonight wanting something more than your situation that you're in. You're still here. And I commend you for that. You walked in here wanting something bigger than yourself. You want the victory in your home. You want the victory, and you want the freedom from the pain of your past. And let me tell you, that's here tonight. That's here in every service that you can walk into. I want to tell you today that I know it seems like you can't get away from the fight and you can't get away from the battle. Your battleground may even be your home. But let me tell you, even if God can do it for somebody as broken as me, as broken as the home that I grew up in, He can do it for you just as easily. If he can heal the lady with the issue of blood, He can do it for you. God can heal every broken home, every broken circumstance, every broken heart tonight if you let Him. To the one fighting addiction right now, keep pressing. To the one fighting the addiction, the lust, the pornography, keep fighting. To those fighting the broken home battle, keep being a witness to your husband, to your wife, to your children. God sees it. God hears the quiet prayers that you're praying at night when you're afraid. He hears you and He sees you. To the parents that have lost children, keep pressing. Keep praying for them. Keep being their parents. No matter what impossible mountain it seems like you're facing, just keep going. Keep pressing in the battle. God said that the promise is unto you and to those who are far off. That's a promise. That's not something God will go back on. Pastor said it on Sunday, if you will work in another area of ministry, God will work in yours, in your heart, in your home. And that is 100% true. To put something into perspective for everybody, that seems like they're in a never-ending battle. How long did God have Moses in the wilderness? 40 years. Noah was in the ark for 40 days. And Jonah, he was in the fish's stomach for 3 days. I say that because nobody knows how long your season or your situation is going to be in. And that's why you keep going. You keep going because of your kids. You keep going because of your family members. And you keep going because of the people that look up to you in service. Something Pastor told me years ago when I didn't want to come to church, I just wanted to let it all go, was that sometimes the days that you don't want to be in service are the days that you need to be there. Sometimes Satan is pushing back so hard that you don't want to get out of bed or you physically feel like you can't. But you have that tug in your heart from God that's stronger than that, that gets you out of bed. And sometimes that message isn't even for you. But somebody else seeing you stick into the battle can give them encouragement, the strength to keep pressing in their circumstances and in their home. I'm sorry. All the little people that look up to you with a broken home and a broken family, they see all of us in this room that made it, that are still making it. They see us. They see every battle that we face, and they see us win it with God. Whether you're in the valley low or the mountain high, God's with you. Whether in the darkest times or the brightest days, you still show up to sometimes even fight somebody else's battle with them. Where it says, woe is to the man who has no one to pick him up. And that sometimes you are the person that needs to be picked up, or you're the person that needs to pick somebody up. And that's why we keep fighting. That's why we keep growing. That's why we keep reading and keep worshiping and keep praying. No matter how long the fight may seem, whether it's 40 years, 20 years, 3 days, couple hours, you're still here. You're still pressing, and you're still fighting forward. Seeing you come to church faithfully can give others the ability to open their eyes to the things that they may haven't seen. different ways to go about certain circumstances. Brother Colin mentioned a man a couple Wednesdays ago by the name of Desmond Doss, a World War II medic. One of the things that stuck out to me when he was speaking was that Desmond kept going back for more. Kept saying, God, help me save one more. And I think in today's age, that's the mindset that we have to have. Sometimes for somebody else, sometimes for ourselves. Because sometimes we are that one more. We need to be like Desmond Doss, where we stick in the fight. And yes, sometimes you will be in the fight longer than you expected or longer than you would like. And that's okay. So what does the word say? God will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. Brother Tyler, I'm just about finished. If the praise team would get ready. With everything that was said tonight, no matter the battle, no matter how long it's been, you're here. You're still fighting. You may not be fighting for yourself. And that's okay. Because sometimes somebody else needs you to fight for them. That's why it is so crucial to have accountability in your life. It is why it is so crucial to be submitted under the man of God. That's why it's so crucial to be here day in and day out. You got this. You're still fighting, and God is alongside you. That is all I have for you tonight. This altar is open as they begin to sing.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. God, oh, the name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great. My heart Jesus God, you are holy. You are holy. You are so, so holy. So Jesus, you are holy.
Just take a moment. Let's just go into prayer as we close the service. Lord, we just want to glorify you in this place. Lord, we want to thank you for what you've spoken this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just continue to move in this place, Lord Jesus, whatever it is that we're struggling with, Lord. Lord, remind us, Lord Jesus, whether we're the person, Lord, searching for help, Lord Jesus, or whether we're the person, Lord, that God laid on our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you just have your way, Lord, and you just be able to speak to us, Lord, and remind us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.